The first thing we want to try to just to mention before we start off with the sugya over here is that the derech, certainly when it comes to any one of the Gemara shiurim, is that the shiurim are meant to be a little bit pandemonious. In other words, please do not ever hesitate to interrupt with a question, with a comment, with a scream, with a yell. You don't really have to raise your hand like in the slightest bit. So we'll leave that for school and during the rest of the year when you're learning. We'll call it the Shema over here. Then it's just the Milchemta Shatora is such that whenever something comes up, please don't hesitate to fight back. You do not have to agree with anything or everything that I say. Even though I'm going to try to defend whatever it is that we say over here, I'll fight back also. But let's make this as rough and tough as possible. If it comes to blows, it comes to blows. But that's the way it is. I've been telling people recently, just my wife had pointed out to me, I showed a really unbelievable video from Amir Tashem. Remind me, I'll show it to you over the summer also, of two of the, I guess we'll call previous generations, real great Gedolim at this stage in the game. One was Shmuel Berenbaum, was Nifta this past year, Tichon of Rach, another one who actually had a bit of a personal relationship with him, Leib Bax, who was a Shiva of Yeshiva of Detroit, both of them from the great Talmidim of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe. And the video, someone, it was an unbelievable clip that someone actually happened to have gotten at somebody's wedding, and they were sitting, at a table in the chasana, and then they started to talk to each other. You have two 90-year-old men talking and learning, and it gets a little bit like this, and you see they get heated up, and by the end of the thing, they're both standing, they're pushing each other in the thing, and pushing, and they're mamish, like you see what learning is, it is a beautiful sense of the word, and two people mamish are committed to the emet. And I'm here to say the same thing should be true over here. And Corey shouldn't feel that just because he's all the way in the back, he's free from being slammed into the wall like that when going gets rough. And let's roll. Again, like I said before, I'm going to make an assumption that we're sort of familiar with what's going on, which I think is actually legitimate in this case. It looks like you're doing a pretty decent job in the base medrash. As you know, the Mishnah gives us the rule that when you have Edim who became Edim Zomim in their court, that they testified someone to Ben Gerusha Ben Chalitza, and it turns out to be that they are not the legitimate Edim on that case. So the Mishnah gives the rule that they get Malkus instead of becoming a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalitza. The Gemara elaborates why that's true. That's not for now. We're going to spend plenty of time as we go along working those things out. Right now we're going to be focusing on the basic question that Tosis has over here, which begins to allow us to gain some insight into a lot of the basics about Hazama, the basics about the Malkus that's going on over here in the Mishnah, a lot of major Tosis. I'm going to read the Tosis inside because there's actually a lot of points that I want to make within the words of the Tosis itself. We'll just make sure we're on the same page, literally and understandably also over here. Before we actually start with the deeper Iyan, and that I was certainly going to be doing today also, quite a bit. Tema, Tosfos bothered me by a Pashut question. Kevadim huzmo ein nasin ben gerusha v'chalutza. We know the rule in the Mishnah is that if they become Edom Zomim, they themselves don't become a ben gerusha ben chalutza. That's the sugya in the Gemara. In Cain, if that's the case, gam b'shelo huzmo, even if they don't become Zomim, they're never caught. They walk in and testify. The guy's a Ben Gush, a Ben Chalutz, who we saw his mother get divorced, and then she got to get married. When it got married to the calling, this guy is a Chalal. If that's what they testify, and we accept their testimony, how could we ever make, based on their or any Adam's testimony, a child into a Chalal, a Ben Gush, a Chalutz, the Hachi Hua Emes, the Maram in the back of the Gemara explains what Tosfos means by that phrase, and we know the truth is that we will assume that what Edom is saying is true unless they become Edom Zom. Remember, they testify that God is a Chol, so we're going to accept that. How? V'amai, why should that be true? Heavy Edom, Shiyat HaYachol HaZima. This is a classic example of the principle Tosfos cites for us over here called Edom, Shiyat HaYachol LeHazima, Edom that cannot be Hazamable, that's not subject to the rules of Hazama. You're meaning to say, even if they get caught, they're not going to become a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz. There's no Kasha Zama last those La'achiv. The Ein Zedus. The Halach is that does not count, that doesn't count as Edus. If that doesn't count as Edus, then what do you have? You have a guy who, as far as we know of, is not a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz. No Edom have changed this guy's status and made him into a Chol. We don't have legitimate testimony. And on the other hand, we know that there is such a thing as someone becoming a Chol. The bottom line is you can become a Chol. How in the world does that work? A very, very simple question that Tosfos is making. Now it's clear in the question that Tosfos is assuming two different things. What are the two assumptions of Tosfos' question? Number one.
That there's no kashrus on them.
that there's no kasher zaman. Rephrase that assumption. Let's get a little bit more defined. Take it away. Because you're a high school graduate, so in theory you might be more educated than this. But you went to your MTA, right? You're just a scratch that. Okay, sum it up. Let's go. Yeah. Okay, so one assumption is that it's not exactly what Nisam is saying, but it's certainly true. One assumption is that the onus of Malkus, that the Mishnah says that we give to these guys who got caught as testifying that someone's a Ben Gerush of a Chalus, is not called Hazama. Even though we're going to give them Malkus, even though somebody came in and said, oh, Imano, Hayistim, Amalkum, floating, that's not called Hazama, right? And that's why Tosfos is saying this is Eidos, that you can't have Hazama. And that's one assumption. The other assumption that Tosfos is making is what?
That you need to be chal Eidos, the Eidos needs to be chal, or the ring should be Hazama for the Eidos to be chal.
What does that mean?
In order for their Eidos to be existing, it needs to be possible that the person giving the Eidos could get the punishment if he was
That's the halacha. Eidos Yatoch is no good. And how is Tosfos applying that halacha? Let me rephrase it. In applying that halacha, Tosfos is assuming two things. One of them is that the malchus that you're getting is not called Hazama. Number two, even simpler than the first, and he said you almost got it, so try to rephrase what you were saying before. Number two is that even if the Eidos that we're giving you is not called Hazama, maybe, twisting on what you said, maybe the fact that we're going to give you Malkus, though, is at least sufficient to take the place, there's a major hint, to take the place of the Kash Hazama. What was that? No, he said something else. What did you say before? Tosfos is assuming that the malchus that you're getting is not functioning as kasher zama, right? Now we're asking something else. Let's say that's true. But maybe I could still argue the mere fact that you're going to get nabbed, you're going to get punished if you're caught lying, is enough to substitute as or count as eidusha at the yochol lazima. In other words, maybe in order to fulfill the requirement of eidusha at the kain yochol lazima, all we really have to have is the knowledge that if you get caught, you're going to get punished. So it's not hazama. That's true. It's not kasher zama lasa zachir. But you're going to get punished. You're going to get malchus. Maybe that's enough to make the Eidos kosher.
That assumption made in the question.
That's clearly made in the question. Because what's he asking? What's he asking? Let's break down the question for a second. Let's break down the question. What do I want to know? I have a case, right? Facts, right? Uvdot, as we say in Hebrew. Ufda, fact number one. The Mishnah says you don't become a Ben Gerusha, you get Malkus. Tosfos then asks, so then how could I ever accept Eidos from Eidos that a guy's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza? Isn't that Eidos? She'i ata yochol lahazima, the Eidos is possible. That's the question. What is he saying over there? Number one, this is not Hazama, right? That's what Yitzi said before. The Malkus is not Hazama, you're not getting Hazama. And number two, even though you're getting some kind of a punishment, in a question, Tosfos is assuming that the Eidos should still be invalid, even though you're getting a punishment, because apparently that Malkus that you're getting is not enough to meet the requirement of whatever Eidos Shatiyachalazim is all about.
It's not enough.
And that's why Tosfos is asking the Eidos should not be legitimate over here. In other words, let me rephrase the question. Let's pretend we're intelligent for a second, okay? In theory, one might guess that the purpose of Eidos Shati Yochol Lahazim is what? Well, what do I want to have in order for testimony to be legitimate? The knowledge that this guy could get caught and punished.
And punishment.
Huh? But why is that important for the Eidos? It's the kind of the Eidos, the term, etc. The guy needs to be a little bit scared. You're going to walk into a bed, and you should just know, right? This isn't free reign. If you're caught lying, you're going to get nailed, right? That's it. We're going to punish you for that. And the mere fact that I know that I might get punished is enough for me to calm down. I'm driving 120 down the highway. Here we do things in kilometers. 120 is slightly over the speed. Most places are 100. You're driving 120, 150, 160. Now, when you see the little siren going wherever it is, you're going to slow down because you know that. Swallow, good.
Oh, okay.
you might get caught, right? You might get caught. And that's enough, generally speaking, to deter somebody from doing something wrong. But generally speaking, you really don't like your roommate, you want to burn his bed on fire, but whoever it is going to be upset, you don't do that, right? There are certain things, even if we might have bad midos ourselves, that keep us in line, right? Thank God for those things. Now, in theory, right, Eidos could be the same thing. I want to get somebody, so I join up with my friend. We're going to go testify about whoever it is. Let's make up some crime that he committed, etc. What's going to hold me back from that? I might get caught, right? Not just getting caught, but I might even get punished out of that. So let's come now and make a legitimate assumption over here. I might assume any kind of punishment whatsoever, right, that I know that I might get if I testify falsely, in theory sounds like that's a deterrent to hold me back from giving Eidos Sheker, right? Now in this case over here, is there a punishment that you're going to get if you're caught as an Eid Domain?
Yeah.
You're going to get Malkus, right? What is Tosas ask though?
There's division.
That's not good enough, right? The Eidos still shouldn't be good. So what is Tosas assuming? Malkus is not enough of a punishment, for whatever the reason is, to create a halach of Eidos that you can give a zomit. In other words, it's not enough of a deterrent, it's not something. In other words, the question is clearly assuming that knowing that you're going to get punished automatically does not make the Eidos kosher, period. So how can, again, so it's this question, how can we end up having a ever kosher Eidos against the guys of Ben Gurush and Ben Chalutz? Tosas is two Tirutim, as we know. We're going to fly through the Tirutim right now, even though they're a little bit tricky, but we want to be focusing on for the next couple of days here. Tosas like this, V'yei Shlomo, Teretz number one. Kevin Devlokim, well, you're going to get Malkus. So since you get Malkus, heavy cash Yazama. That's cash Yazama. Heavy Shapir at the Yochel Lazima. This is Eidos Shat Yochel Lazima. You're getting Malkus over here. Cash Yazama. Okay, we're going to elaborate on that as we go along. But Kasha. But I have a problem with that, Tosa says. I have a problem. Dim Kane. If so, okay, now again, I'm going to be legitimately a little bit nitty gritty with you over here, okay? But I'm doing it anyway because you have to learn how to read. What do the words in Cain mean? Not just translating, but explain them over here. In Cain means, first of all, literally, if so. Meaning what? Which is what? Talk.
If Malkus counts for...
if the Malkus that you're getting can count as Kasha Zomam, then my Ka'omar and Tera call you both. And what's the Gemara saying over there in Sanhedrin's Afnim Aleph? Gabi Eide, Naira Hamurasa, regarding Eide, we'll come and testify about Naira Murasa, the Ihi Lo Mixu of the Gemara has a line that says that, hey, she who just got caught being Mizana should not get killed. The Cave and the Inu Lo Mixu, he asked the Gemara like this. Since they, the Eidim, can't get killed themselves, if they become Eidim Zolomim, Mishum Shiacholim Loma, because they can say to the Bezdin, La'osra Abaylabonu, we were only coming to attempt to ask her and her husband. We didn't realize she was going to get killed. That wasn't our intention. That wasn't the Kasha Zomim. That was not our devious plan over here. I never meant that. And they can get off. They're not necessarily going to get killed. And again, I'm just telling you, I'm not getting into all the details of the sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara does say that over there, that sometimes at least, most of the time, not, but sometimes, this question or the taina that the Eidim might have is legitimate and they might be able to get off. Heavy Eidos She'iyat Yochol Lehazima, and the Gemara says that in those circumstances that would be considered Eidos She'iyat Yochol Lehazima, that you can't give Hazama to since those Eidim will not get killed. Umay Ka'amar. And so says, what are we saying over there? I don't understand. I mean, Kol Makom Lokin, aren't we nevertheless going to give them Malkus? Very nice. Okay, you thought you were just coming to Aser. Bottom line is, you got caught with your pants then. You got caught lying in a bezin. And what do we know from our Mishnah when Eidim are caught lying in a bezin? We got Malkus. Now let's just assume something for a second, which is a very legitimate assumption here. Why are you going to get Malkus when you're caught lying in bezin? Because one of the Aseret HaDibros is Losana Berach Eid Shaker. You're not allowed, right, to give false testimony. A lav in the Torah, generally speaking, brings about Malkus. So there is some, you get Malkus when you testified falsely. And I just told you, Tosa says, that if you're getting Malkus, right, that's called Eidos She'iyat Yochel Lehazima. So what's the deal over there in that Gemara in Sanhedrin? Why are those Eidim not going to get Malkus? Or even if they are going to get Malkus, why is the girl not able to get killed? In that case, isn't this Eidos She'iyat Yochel Lehazima? Tosfos gives an answer, again, a little bit tangential at this point, but we're going to see, we're going to do some important things. Yeah?
We assume it's a Maisa? Why would they get, it's a Maisa, the Dibor is a Maisa, we assume?
Sugya later on, we're going to have coming up soon, in the first Perek Yer Mak. V'yesh lo, man. So Tosfos explains, let me tell you what's going on in that Gemara. Hossam over there is slightly different. Kevin Shabo'in L'chayiva Misa. Since the Eidim were coming to be Mechayiv Misa, that is the ultimate punishment for Znuk. V'zomamu laharog es ha-nefesh. And they were planning on killing somebody. Now that's obviously a quite serious thing. Lo mekayim kasha zomam b'malchus. You cannot fulfill kasha zomam by merely giving them malchus. So behed yiksiv nefesh b'nefesh gabe ha-zomam de'edus nefashos. We know the Torah explicitly says, when it speaks about the din of Edom Zomim, nefesh b'nefesh, your life for that person's life. You are taking away their life. Your life has to be taken away. Therefore, we can't consider it a yochol la'azima by substituting malchus for Edom. We're trying to take somebody else's life away. You're trying to kill somebody? The only appropriate response to that is to try to kill you also. Aval Hacha, but over here in our case, and this is a very tricky line in Tosfos. Shelo kivein ela l'shaviyei ben gerusha ben chalutza. All the Edom were intending to do were to make him into a chalo. Deleka ki'im lava ba'alma. All you have over there, if we make him a chalo, is at best a lav. And how did their shashas explain what the lav is? What's at stake over here? The guy's a kolo now. The end aveira that we might end up causing him to do, and the end onesh that he might get by being a chaz if the guy goes and eats truma, the avoda, he's doing things wrong, etc. We'll get malchus for that. Okay, so kevin shalaku, if the edom are going to get malchus, chashiv shapir edom shati yochol hazima, that will yes legitimately be called edom shati yochol hazima. Because what are we, quote-unquote, trying to give to him by making him a Ben Gerusha? Again, with the explanation of the Rosh Hashanah right now. What onus are we ultimately trying to give him? Malchus, right? By being a Cholov, if he goes and does any of the Kohen things when he's a Cholov, he's going to get Malchus. So in our minds, we're setting the guy up for Malchus. We're going to get Malchus? Okay, that's Eidus Shati Yochol Le'azimah. Not the same thing, Tosa says, and don't be confused. In that case, in Sanhedrin, by the Eidei Na'amarasa, when we know the girl was supposed to be getting Misa, right? Giving me Malchus, that's not called Hazama vis-a-vis the Misa we were trying to give him. That's teretz number one of Tosa. In a nutshell, summarize the first teretz of Tosa. Where's the Eidei Shatiyachol Azima by Eidei to Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza? The Malchus. You got Malchus, that's okay. But Odi Yeshlami can also say something further, Tosa says. Now the Eidus of Ben Gerusha v'Chalutza, regarding this case, lo chayshin and klal ba'ati yochol hazima. We're not concerned with the requirement of Eidus shati yochol hazima. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care that you're not able to do hazama over here. Why? And by the way, very important line we're reading right now. Remember, I told you this. This is an important line. Okay? Mehecha nafkalon to be in an Eidus shati yochol hazima. Where do we learn that you have to have Eidus Shati Yochol Hazima? Where does that come from? Why is that true? Mekasher Zaman. We learn that out in the concept of Kasher Zaman. When the Torah is telling me about Eidus, and there's a rule of Kasher Zaman, okay, what we're saying is, if you want Eidus to be legitimate, these rules have to be applicable. But Hamuchach be Gemara, but it's evident in the Gemara, the Kasha Zama lo nechtav l'gabi Eidus, Ben Gerusha v'chalutza. It's also evident in sugyas that are coming up, partially the one that you just saw where the Gemara points out, Be'inan Kasha Zama v'leka, it doesn't apply in these cases. Therefore, Tosa says, if there's no Kasha Zama over here, that means this kind of Eidus is out of the fold of the requirements of normal classic Eidus. And what are we not going to require by this particular example? Also the din of Eidus Shati Yochol Hazima. L'koi klal alei b'shum tzad sheba'olam, and in no way, shape, or form in the world. It does not apply in our case. There's no need for Eidus Shati Yochol Hazima, and therefore I don't care that there's no Hazama over your toes. It says the Eidus is legit. But over there, when you're testifying that the girl was Chayev's niece, that she was Mizan, of course, that's a regular testimony. Kashazamim applied. For example, in Hisruba, if they were to have given up a, Hasra, Mixedly in Obishos, well, they would get killed if they became Zomim. Bidu'i below is more, she, if they didn't get Hazama, she would also get killed. But Kachbin and Ata Yachal Azim, and therefore we will require the concept of Eidos, Shata Yachal Lehazim. I'm going to leave out the rest of the Tosis for now. Okay? Classically, okay? Learning 101. Okay? Whenever you find in any Rishon out there in the world, two dais, you have this teretz, you have that teretz, okay? Or you have two opinions in Rishonim. The first question you always want to ask is what?
Why?
Huh? But rephrase the question like a man. What was that?
What's the underlying?
What's the what we call in Hebrew the soda machlokes? What's the underlying? What's the issue over here that's going on? Right? We have two opinions, nice questions, two different answers. Answer number one: well, with this kashazama, because he's getting malchus. Answer number two: we don't care about kashazama. The edus is legitimate, despite the fact that it's edus that yes is iata yochol azima. What toast is debating over here? What are the two days represented? This is going to take us a little while to work through some of the basic and major the concepts over here about Eidos in general, Eidos Shati Yochol Azima, about Hazama, a lot of major things that are coming up. Okay. We're going to have three different Mahalakim by the time we're done learning the Tosafot, and we're going to explore each of them with the various Nafkaminas and ramifications out of there as well. Okay? One quick word about methodology, and then we're going to jump straight into the thick of things over here. Okay? You all probably are aware, I should hope you're aware at least, and if not, you're going to be aware in 30 seconds, okay? That there are different styles, if you will, of learning different styles of how to be ma'ayin into different sugyas, different ways of approaching things. Classically, for hundreds of years, for centuries, right, there was a style of learning that was very, very popular, known as pilpul, okay? What pilpul basically meant was, and I'm going to translate the word with another Hebrew word, which is going to be equally insensible to you. Pilpul meant to be mefalpil, to work through back and forth within a sugya, this opinion system with this opinion, this, and you make a whole basic puzzle, and by the time you fit all the pieces of the puzzle together, you have a nice little picture, etc. Right? You work through a sugya, what we would call today a non-analytical kind of a style, not being overly analytical, but trying to work out all the different odds and ends based on opinion here, an answer here, a question there. Okay? In today's day and age, post one of the great gedolim of pre-world into Europe, of Chaim Brisker, there's another famous style of learning that probably more of you are a little bit more familiar with, even though not in its full sense as of yet, because you're still a little bit young, a style called Lumdus, what was the phrase that's used in Lashon HaKodesh. In English, we would call more of what the phrase that's usually used is conceptual analysis, to try to take things and look at the underlying concepts, the principles that are worth a little bit more, not so much throwing around different opinions and shittos and working out a puzzle and putting together a picture, but rather breaking down the elements of a sugya, trying to understand what they're all about, and as Reb Chaim himself used to say all the time, to try to show that the questions aren't really questions. Jesus said wrong assumptions that were there, and maybe you'll understand the sugya as you go along. I want to try to introduce to you right now both of those styles of learning, more or less the shiurim. Throughout the rest of the summer, we're going to focus much more on the lumdus side of things. But I think it's important, especially since there's a beautiful example of a pilpul over here, to try to gain a little bit of a feel for the more classic styles of learning as well. And one of them is going to be found in the Aruch Lanier that we have over here. The Aruch Lanier was written by someone named Yaakov Ellinger, is one of the Gedolim who lived even before World War I quite a bit. In the beginning of the 1800s, one of the mamish, an unbelievable, incredible gong, and Peirush on basically all of Obashas, which is not an easy thing to pull off. Aruch Lanier writes like this. Okay, you're familiar with the basic question that the Aruch Lanier has over here. I'm hoping, and again, once again, assuming. Aruch Lanier starts off with a kasha. I'm not doing this so much inside because I think you probably know it before, and what do you call it? I just want to get to a certain point over here before because we're quickly running out of time where I wanted to get up to at least for by the end of this morning. Aruch Lanier, has a kasha on the Tosafot. Tosafot has a line that we saw in the first teretz of Tosafot. Remember the first teretz of Tosafot, the one that said what? Very, very quickly. The malchus that you get is what? It's basically kasha zamam. And why is it by getting malchus by ben grusha ben chalutza that works as kasha zamam, but getting malchus by the naira murasa doesn't count as kasha zamam? Here, there's a lab over there. You're trying to be mechayev the first in misa, etc. Okay. Now, the Arachlin is a little bit bothered. We understood up until now, okay, in light of the comments of the Rashash on the basic perushim in the back of the Gemara, we understood that the lav that Tosus is referring to, when it says, if you're trying to make a guy a ben grusha, ben chalutza, all you're really trying to give him is an onus of malchus, that meant that by making the guy into a chalo, right, the end result is that if the person performs the avodah, eats truma, violating the rules of kahuna, he's going to get malchus. So at best, my intentions when I'm coming and testifying against that guy are to give that guy an onus of malchus, and therefore, as Tosafot says, my malchus now is going to be a legitimate tzedakah. Ask the Aruch Lanier a very, very simple kasha. Says the Aruch Lanier like this, but you're making a mistake, a simple, simple mistake. Says the Aruch Lanier that, listen, you make the guy into a challah, right, who's not allowed to do the avodah. So Sunday through Friday, if the guy decides to eat truma or do the avodah in the basin mikdash, he's violating the law. That's true. The challah is not allowed to be only one day of the week, of course, being on Shabbat. If that challah does the avodah, right, and many of the avodahs in the basin mikdash involve chilul Shabbat, like real chilul Shabbat, deraita, which is mutter to do when you're doing the avodah. That's totally legitimate. The problem is, if you're not allowed to do the avodah, you also aren't allowed to be doing the avodah. You can't be mechallel Shabbos, and you're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos. Fred the Aruch Lanier, but that's what's going to happen over here. The guy who's a chol does the avodah on Shabbos, he's doing a chiyav misa. Chiyav misa, you heard those words. If he's doing a chiyav misa, that means that my hazama, in other words, the kasher, zama lasso, my intentions, when I said you are a challah, is somewhere in my mind, even if I wasn't totally planning this out, is the eventuality that this soon-to-be challah will be over on Shabbos, chayiv misa. So I don't understand the Aruch Lanier says. Tosus basically is sort of spit back in his own face over here. You have the exact same scenario as the Eidim were testifying about the Nara Hama'urasa. You testify that a guy is in a situation where he might be Chayav Misa. If so, Malchus is not going to be Kasha Zaman when you're putting a guy in a situation where he's going to get Misa. Yeah? Okay, so what you say is obvious is actually 100% that true. In other words, the Gemara points out, or we saw this in the Gemara, some sort of base Spanish before, and it's based on the Aruch Lanier is going to say coming up soon. The Gemara stands after your base, so the end of on the end of the second paragraph. Have exeris a cut of a rule. And from Parashas, whatever, what's the last one called? Zosa Bracha. Beirach Hashem Chelo, follow your dove to your step. The Gemara learns out that Moshe Rabbeinu's Bracha to shave that lady. Beirach Hashem Chelo, Hashem will bless. Chelo. And the Gemara makes a drush on that pasuk. Even when I'm doing the article translation right now, even the chalolim shabo, even the chalolim, Hashem is going to bless, meaning to say the avodah that a chalol did is kasha. And in the Gemara itself, all the Gemara refers to is your case. Anything the guy did up until now, when he didn't realize he was a chalol, is all okay. We don't go back and look up all the addresses of the people whose karbanos he brought the past 25 years and say, hey, you better bring another one. This guy was a call, was no good. Well, anything in the past is A-OK, legit. Right? Period. But the Aruch Lanier was bothered over here, but anything he might do tomorrow, or next week, or next Shabbos, right, that's all a chiyuv misa. No good. Okay, but he did it. That's the way the world works. He did it because he wanted to. Big, strong chalal goes to Beit Hamikdash with his knife, right? And he does the avodah. Okay. Now, the Aruch Lanier, as you know, right, points out what. Let's just try to make sure we got some of this down pat over here. Take it away. Not yet. So you get nailed over here. Now, what's the Aruch Lanier say to his own question? No pressure.
Is
So, so that's the question. What, what's the author of the answer to that question? Yeah, answer. Teretz, I'm sorry, I should have spoken in Hebrew, but I forgot that we don't speak English in this one. Yeah, the Teretz of the Arachana is what? Okay, good.
The
Rambam says
that...
It's something, that's true, it's an accurate statement. Okay, good. So first of all, the Aruch HaNeir points out, you have a basic machlokis among Kedushot, right? The parts that we stuck in the highlights over there. The Rambam Paskin Hilvas Bias Mikdash Perek Vav Halacha Yud. Very big Kiddush in the Rambam. It's machlokis really between the Rambam and the Ramban. Later on, that's Yudbeis over here in Makos. The Rambam has a Kiddush. The Rambam says that even though the Gemara itself that I quoted to you before says that the prior avoda of that unknown Chalo is all kosher, the Rambam says it's equally true for any future avoda that this challah does. An unbelievable thing, the Rambam says. The challah is not allowed to do the avoda, but if he does, what happens? Nothing. It's okay. It was kosher to do it anyway. Huh? No. He's not supposed to. He's not allowed. But the avoda is still kosher for that. What? Wait, that's what the Rambam learns. That's still against your faith. And you have to see the Gemara's over there. But there is a Gemara. That's the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara later on. He violated Nishri. He's not supposed to. That's true. Huh? But if it's kosher, he wasn't Makhala Shabbos. It's kosher. If it's kosher, then it can't be a Chil Shabbos if it's legitimate.
If that's
because of Beirach Hashem Chelo. Hashem is blessing even the Chalalim of Sheva Kuhuna. Or okay, it's there. It's because it is counterintuitive, right? Now,
if a regular coin does the avodah improperly, what happens then?
Well, it depends on improper. What does improper mean?
What do we say improperly?
Like puzzle, man. He does things like no good on Shabbos.
Yeah,
he was Mechal Shabbos.
If he's a regular coin,
right?
And
now again, he probably did by accident and say like that. So that can actually get a
good idea.
That means
that
the coin could do a call to do a vote for the next 30 years.
Right. Okay, so let's remember, okay? What was that? He's not allowed to do that. Very often we get stuck on this point. It's very hard, especially because we're American high school students here. Remember, you're not allowed to do Isurim, okay? That's an important thing to remember in life, okay? Not allowed to do those things, okay? So it is usur for the Kohen to do the Avodah. The Kohen being a Yerei Shemayim, no less than yourself, will wake up saying, I'm not allowed, it's usur. The same way, we're not going to beat you, right, or anyone else when they speak Lashon Hara, when they do many other Isurim, don't get a onesh in Olam Hazeh, but you still can't do it, right? The Kohen is doing an Avodah right now. He is doing an Avodah. It's not allowed to. It's 100% usur deraita for him to do this. Right? Probably even worse than the Lashon Hara that you're speaking. Maybe if you can say for maybe. I'm not getting into that. Right? But it's bad to do. Right? Did he have it? If he did it, though, it's not called a Chil Shabbos. It was kosher according to the Rambam still. But that's only did he have it. That's not like what we aspire to be when we grow up. Right? Now, says the Aruch HaNeir like this. So let's finish the point and we're going to come back to the question. There happens to be another sheet, like I said a second ago, the Ramban. He quotes the name of a Tosin Kiddushin after base that argues on that Rambam and says, no. Any avoda that the Chalo does, mikan ve'ela, from now on, right, is 100% puzzle. The whole Chiddush that Hashem is giving a bracha and being machshir, the avoda of a Chalo, is only legabe prior avoda that the guy has already done. But anything in the future, the Chalo is a Chalo, he can't do avoda, it's puzzle, no good, period, nothing to talk about. That's the sheet of the Ramban and Makkos Daf Yudbeis and Tosfos happens to be also on Yudbeis in the Sefdikushin. The Aruch HaNeir points out of it. Now, says the Aruch HaNeir, a beautiful piece of pilpa over here. He says like this. Let's follow his cheshbon over here and then we're going to take all the questions. Says the Aruch HaNeir like this. What was our kasha? We asked on Tosfos as follows. Hey, how can you say when the Eidim testified that this coin to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that all you're doing is presenting him with an opportunity to get Malkus, to violate Lavin, etc., isn't the guy going to be Mechal Shabbos and maybe be Mechayik himself Misa, etc., and according to you, Tosis, getting Malkus, right, when you get caught, is not called Kasha Zomim when there's a Misa Onesh that's there. Says the Achmanina, that's a good question, but it's wrong. In the first explanation of Tosis, he's making an assumption like the Shita of the Rambam, that if this Kohen is going to do the Avodah in the future, it's going to be Kosher anyway. He's not going to be Chayiv Misa. It's not a Chelo Shabbos. There will be no Misa. Therefore, at best, the only onus that you're going to be giving that Kohen is ever going to be Malkus. That's it, as much as it's going to be. The second Teres of Tosfos, the other Yonah Achmanina, comes along and says, is assuming, wait, is that really true? Remember, there's a sheet of Tosfos in Kiddushin, there's a sheet of the Ramban, that any future Avoda will be a Chelo Shabbos. If that's the case, then when we testify the coin to Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, we're basically setting them up for an Onish of Misa. Hey, wait a second, if it's an Onish of Misa, that's like Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara there says that if the Eide Nara Murasa are going to get Malkus if they get caught, right? But that's not called Hazama, Kasha Zama, if they were planning on giving her an Onish of Misa. Same thing over here. If we're going to give the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza a Onish of Misa, the fact that we're going to get Malkus, that the Gemara learns that you're supposed to get, is not called Kasha Zama for that particular Eide. Therefore, I better figure out another explanation of why this case is called Eide Shata Yochel Azima. What does Tosis dream up then, according to that second Teretz? Why is this called Eide Shata Kain Yochel Azima? Because Eide Shata Yochel Azima doesn't apply by the Eide of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That is, again, a classic example of a pilpul. We took two terutzim in Tosis, and we showed, well, if you have a sheet of the Rambam like this, but there might be a kasha on that Tosis has, and therefore Tosis is going to be motivated to change his mind, follow a different shita, that of the Ramban, a different understanding about the avoda that's done by a chal on Shabbos. So if you were to look at this Tosis at face level, you'd read it through twice, three times, etc., to dream up, right, that the whole flow of this Tosfos is based around a question of what happens when a Cholol does the Avodah on Shabbos, is it kosher or not, is it a Chelo Shabbos or not, right, you wouldn't necessarily see that within the wording of the Tosfos at all. But again, that's the style that's called a pilpul. If you have different opinions that are floating around, you can use them to try to back up and explain, like we said before, the pieces of a puzzle. That was a classic approach to learning that existed for many years. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's a little bit of a question. Let me get one question out, and then we're going to open up to you. If you take a look in the Ritva, you're going to see a point that's going to very much challenge us to rethink what we just explained within the idea of Tosis. In other words, forget about do you personally like a Lumdis style of learning or another style, but that's irrelevant for that we don't care about your opinions, but we don't care about your opinions right now all that much. But when we look through even Rishonim, Amish, the Rishonim here on this Gemara, we're going to see that explanation of the Aruch Lameir, the Mechilas Kvodo, is not necessarily true, at least according to all of the Rishonim that are you. Let's take a look in the Ritva. Okay, I'm going to read it through. Most of you, just quick show of hands, I want to see where when I can slow down a little bit. How many of you have actually done the Ritva inside already? Okay, very good. So I'm going to skip most of it. As you know, the Ritva is basically the same question that Tosfos is. What's going on? This is Eide Shiata Yochel Azima. So the Ritva, as opposed to Tosfos, explains that principle a little bit more. He quotes the Gemara about the Eidim were made on a Trefa, right, where that's an example of Eide Shiata Yochel Azima, because Bezdin doesn't give an onesh of Misa to a Trefa. He's called the Gavra Katili. The guy's going to die anyway, so we don't give Misa for someone who's testifying about him. Okay, so what's going on over here? Let's go to the bold part right on the bottom after the Ritva elaborates and builds on the question. It says the Ritva like this. Vitzirtzu. They give an answer. Shani Hasa. Over there, those Gemaras and Sanhedrin, all that stuff are different. The Boem Lachayeva Misa. There, why is that called Eide Shiata Yochel Azima? Because you're coming to try to give the girl an onesh of Misa. Umalkos Lagabe Misa Lav Klumu. Malkus, in comparison to Misa, is nothing. It's a zero. Now, I'm going to ask you to try to read carefully over here for 1 second. Where did you see that line before? They're trying to give her Misa and Malkus. Malkus Misa is a zero. Not true. Okay, not true. Okay, obviously they're setting up for that one over there. Not true. What does Tosfos say? When he's expressing a similar idea but not the same. What does he say? I want the word. Huh? Very, very important. Very good. So when you're getting Malkus, okay, let's read it inside over there. Hasam Kevin Shabbat Mechayiv Misa. They were trying to Mechayiv Misa. V'zomamullah harogis anefesh. You're not Mechayim Kasher Zomam Malkus. You can't be Mechayim the Kasher Zomam by Malkus. Why? But behead your ksiv, it says nefesh the nefesh. What's the hazama when you're trying to take someone's nefesh away? Nefesh for nefesh. In other words, Tosfos sees the need to cite a pasuk. He has to prove to you based on psukim in the Torah. Nefesh benefesh, a life for life. Anything short of that is not hazama. The Ritzvo, when he says a similar idea, we're going to see as we go on, though not today, why this is important. When the Ritzvo wants to say a similar idea, the Ritzvo doesn't need a pasuk, doesn't what's the what? A simple svara. You're trying to kill the person, right? Saying we're going to slap you on the wrist or slap you on the back. Love, that's zero. That's nothing. We're going to see that that's very significant, but not today. Behilka from the airport. In that case, you wanted to give Misa, and the Malkus is a zero in comparison to that. Hilka Eda Shiyata Yochel Azimai. Avahaka, but over here. She'ein Ba'an Mahayed Ela Bepsul Ben Gerusha. Over here, all we're trying to do is testify about what? Let's get an English phrase over here. Huh? The impediment of what? Okay, I'll just say it in a simple way. We're trying to test by a person's status, right? The psul, that status of a ben gerusha. Shapir mekayim kashazam, but mamalka. So we can legitimately fulfill kashazam by giving malkus. The kevin shalokin, if you're going to get malkus, and I just said that that's a legit kashazam, it's eidah shatzi yochol azimu. The same thing is true in the other part of the Mishnah when they testify about the guy who murdered accidentally as well. Now, what are the Ritzvot change over here? Why, in our case, when I give Malkus on the Eidei Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, why does that count as Kasher Zom? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that either. Right. What does he say? All we're trying to do over here is what?
They were
make change
it's to change the person's status. All I'm trying to do over here is to apply the psul of a ben gerusha. In other words, what are we driving at with that little geek there in the Ritva? The Ritva doesn't focus in the slightest bit that your testimony was trying to give him the onesh of Malkus, that matches up. As opposed to over there where you're trying to give Misa, Malkus, Misa, doesn't match up. He doesn't discuss those things at all, on both levels, not in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and now not in our Gemara over here. What does he say? First of all, again, this is the part we're not going to have enough time now to elaborate on, but first of all, he says, anytime you're getting Misa, right? Malkus, the Malkum, the Misa is a zero. What does it sound like he's saying by that? I mean, this part is funny. What does it sound like he's saying? No. Knowing that we're going to give you Malkus, when what you were trying to do to that girl is to kill her, is a nothing. What does that mean? Simple svar. You're going to slap me on the wrist, and I'm supposed to kill all that money. I'm going to kill this girl. I'll take that chance. But Malkus, the makom, the misa that I want to give her, that's a zero. What do I care? Over here, on the other hand, what am I trying to do to that person? Change their personal status, right? On their identity card, right? It's going to say this instead of that, okay? So what onesh might I give you, right, when my intention was to mess up your personal identity? So he says, Malkus for that. What does he say? What are the words of this? Well, I can't do it inside. Shafir Mekayim Kasher Zomam Malkus. That's okay. That's an okay Kasher Zomam to give Malkus when all you were trying to do was change the guy's personal status. In other words, okay, what do I want to take out of the Ritzvah against the Aruch Lanayer here, just for a quick second? Okay? Right, the point is not what onus am I going to give, what issur you going to do. Do I really care that this Kohen might be machal Shabbos and get a chiyumi? That's not the point. Our focus over here, when we're testifying about this guy, is to change his personal status. That's what I care. I'm not thinking about a virus that he's going to do. I'm not thinking about onishim that he's going to get. Who is he? A Kohen, a Cholol, this or that. To give malchus, that's okay, to scare me away, if you want to use that term still, from trying to come around and mess with this guy's life. That's going to be okay. Now, that's true, though. Yeah?
No, but if you give him up, like, ruining the guy's, like, reputation or status, would it really, like, wouldn't scare him that much? Because, like, he's ruining, like, number one, like, his status, number two, like, his parnassus that you can't even treat him, right? So, and also, the future generations after that, so.
So that's exactly the judgment call that's being made over here. You know, they're saying like this. Listen, I want to mess up his status. I want to take and give him a bad name. I'm going to do all the examples he just gave, right? Do I want to take a chance? Is it worth the knowing that I might get beat 39 times in a bed?
But
yeah,
it seems like nothing compares. So he gets beaten. So like 2 weeks later, he's fine.
If you want to volunteer right now to take your shirt off and give me a whip, okay? 39 times as hard as we can hit you in the back with that whip. Okay, that's hard. A guy is on the brink of death. The guy is on the brink of death when he gets malchus. So you know about malchus later on. You learned malchus before, right? You only give 18 sometimes if that's all you can. We have to figure out what can you do. This is serious stuff over here, right? That's enough. In other words, if I'm not even giving you an onish anyway, I'm doing want to do one of these wimpy kind of things, personal status issues, whatever that means. Okay, malchus, fine. I'm not playing games with that. I'm not going to play games. Well, we've taken away right now. Let's just summarize, and then we're going to actually call, because I don't want to run over late. If you don't get to the dining room on time and it's a walk, then you've missed out a little bit on lunch, which I don't want you to do over here. You have like this. What we've seen from this ritva, okay, is that the ritva's understanding of why the malchus will count as a kasher zamam has nothing to do with trying to equate different onshim that we're giving. Misa against Misa, Malchus against Misa. But we can't get involved like the Aruch HaNeir wants us to do with questions of, was he going to get this onish? Will the guy get that onish afterwards? It's going to therefore be harder to accept the idea that the tirutzim of the Tosas are going to revolve around the question of, is the Kohen going to get Misa for being Oved on Shabbos or not? If that's not really the focus in general of the Eidot and the Azam that we're doing. So we're going to be forced to try to look for other understanding of the different terutzim that go on over here as well. Of course, there could be a machlokes maybe between Tosas and the Ritva about that. That is certainly possible. But we're going to try again to work out, even within the Tosas, we're going to see very, very clearly, especially when we get into the intense lumnus of Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow, of what the Tosas might have been driving at. And again, each one of the following two approaches that we're going to have is going to have a lot of questions, a lot of problems with it, and that's going to be the bulk of the remaining one or two shiurim that were three, even that we might have on this particular topic. Again, we're both to try to run over there to the dining room. Yeah.